Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin our reading of verse 24 and go down through verse 27. And I want to preach on following Jesus, the cost of discipleship. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what if a man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. There are many in the world today who believe that they are following God and fulfilling his will by following the teachings of their prophets, their teachers, or their religious institutions. There are those who believe that they're Christians because of their membership or affiliation with a Christian organization or with a church. There are those who have been baptized, those who have been confirmed or partake of communion, that believe that these rituals, that because of these rituals that they're saved. They believe maybe because of other religious rituals that they follow that they're going to enter into heaven. There are those who are in contemporary religion that believe that their praise and worship makes them right with God. Among these people, there are those who are dedicated, who are involved in their churches, who are involved in their religious organizations, that believe that they are serving the Lord and will fare well in the day of judgment. There are those who have made a profession of some type and who are trusting in their profession to take them to heaven, though their lives, they live lives that do not honor and glorify the Lord. They'll come to church when it's convenient. They may even do a little in the church. But their lifestyle gives a different testimony than their lips. Our communities are filled with various types of the people that I've mentioned so far this morning, and also many of our churches as well. It is therefore much needed, I believe, that we take a look at Christ's teaching on the cost of following Him, as spelled out in the passage of Scripture that we're looking at today in this message. There's a false notion that people say, well, you know, that I can believe on Jesus and live like I want to, that I'll have a better life and everything will go well with me. I'll not have any more trouble or trials. There are those that will make a profession and say, well, now that I know that I'm saved, they're trusting in their profession, haven't trusted in Christ, but they're trusting in their profession. And they live for the world. They live their lives in the world. They live in sin. They carry on and do what they want to do. And though they may say with their lips that they're saved, yet their lives tell a very different message. I believe it's important that we look and see what Jesus said about following Him. That there is a cost of following Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, unlike some of the religious pimps, that all they do is go after professions and try to get their numbers looking good, that the Lord Jesus lets people know ahead of time what is involved if you receive Him and if you follow Him. He lets us know that there is a cost, that there is a sacrifice required in following Jesus. Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, if you're going to come after me, there are three things that will take place. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's a sacrifice required in following Jesus. There are people that make a profession and say, well, I can live my life the way that I want to. No, you cannot. You have been, if you're saved, you've been bought with a price, that price being with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you have a Lord, you have a Savior, you have a Master, you have a law, you have a Spirit that leads you to honor and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So when a person is saved, you don't live like, in fact, if you believe that you're saved and you think you can live like you want to, you are sadly misinformed. That you do have a new Lord, a new life, a new love, and you've got a new destination. Amen. If any man will come after me, if you're going to follow the Lord, let him deny himself. That word deny means to utterly abandon. It means to utterly forsake. You have to utterly deny yourself and take up his cross. That means that you have to lay yourself on the altar. You've got to lay yourself down. That talks about, you know, hey, well, I'm a Christian, And people say, I'm a Christian. I'm going to live like I want to. I'm not going to sacrifice much. I'm not going to give a whole lot. I'm not going to put in a whole lot. I'll tip God when I want to. I'll do a little bit when I'm required of it. I'll come to church when I get good and well ready. Let me tell you something. That's a far cry from Bible Christianity. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You don't add Jesus to your life. You repent of your sin, repent of your religion, and trust Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful that God did not allow me to add Jesus to my sinful, wicked life, but that when I came to Him, that I trusted Him, I received Him, and He gave me victory over my sin. He gave me victory over myself, and He gave me a life that's worth living. Amen. Hallelujah. If any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, to put yourself on the altar of sacrifice, and then to take up his cross. We have a cross. The cross that we're to bear is the shame and reproach of our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross that we are to bear is the will of God that we are to carry out in our daily living. The cross that we are to bear is a life that is a righteous life and a holy life, that we are to let our light so shine that the world may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are to take up the cross. We're not to take up the cross of Christ, but we're to take up, every one of us have a cross that we're to bear. In Bible time, when a man took upon him the cross, he never came back again. He never came back again because he was going to die. And when you and I take up the cross, it is a cross that we are dying to self and we're allowing God to live in and through us. Now the problem is, as long as you have yourself and you're living like you want to and you are letting the flesh rule and reign, it's easy for you to get upset, isn't it? Amen. It's pretty easy for you to get bent out of shape when somebody says something that you don't like, that you get upset very easy, that you get mad very easy, get offended very easily. And if somebody does something against you, but if you're bearing the cross, you're a dead man. Somebody come up, say something to you, it won't bother you. Somebody come up, the devil will come and push your sin button, and it won't bother you because you're a dead man. You're bearing that cross. We're to deny ourselves and take up his cross and then to follow me. Right, if any man love me, Jesus said, he will keep my commandments. And Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and verse 14 goes against the theory that people say that there are many roads that lead to heaven. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that think that they are going to heaven because of their good works. They're going to heaven because of their religious works. There are those that are in false religion, that are following false prophets and false gods and false ideals, that they think, they genuinely believe that they're going to be all right, and only to find out too late that they're going to be in the lake of fire. There are those that are member of a denominational church, maybe even a member of this church, and you're trusting in your church membership, and you're trusting in your baptism, and you're trusting in your good works, and you're trusting in the fact that you go to church from time to time, or you're trusting in the fact that you did like I did when I was in fifth grade. I walked the aisle, I prayed a prayer, they dumped me the next week, I didn't repent, I didn't receive Christ, I went down a wet sinner, I went down a dry sinner, and I came up a wet sinner. There was no receiving Christ, and I'm afraid that there are more that are in our churches, and I'm afraid even in this very church that I pastor, that there are those that you are trusting, and you walking down this aisle, and you praying a prayer, and you being baptized in this baptistry, and then that you're a church member, and you're thinking that you're going to go to heaven. Let me tell you, my friend, except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. That your baptism will not save you. You walking this aisle will not save you. You praying a little prayer will not save you. Let me tell you what will save you. When you realize that you're a sinner, lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you'll come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith, that God will save your never dying soul. Amen. And He'll do that for you just like He did for me. You can be a rotten sinner, you can be a religious sinner. But there's that wide gate. People say, well, I can pray a little prayer. I can do like I want to. I can do my works. I can have my feel-good religion. I can do whatever I want to. All of these things are not going to take you to heaven. It's knowing Jesus. It says, straight is a gate, and narrow is a way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What's the straight and narrow way? The Lord Jesus Christ. And receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's a sacrifice required in following Jesus. Then there's salvation from Jesus' perspective. And verse 25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Salvation from Jesus' perspective. There are those that believe, well, that Jesus saves, that you can have the better life. And by the way, let me tell you that you do have a better life when you get saved. But it doesn't mean, and though we have a certain destination, we're not promised an easy journey. We're not promised an easy journey. There's going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be times that the devil's going to shake your cage a little bit. There are going to be times that this world is going to oppose you. And so people say, well, I'm going to get saved so I can have the good life, so that all of my bills will be paid, and I have all the money I need. I'll never have no heartache, no trouble. I'll be healed. I'll never have all of that stuff. That's a prosperity gospel. That's not Jesus' gospel. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You try to save your life. You're trying to do with your life. That's what we have in the world today. People trying to save their life. People trying to make much of their life. And there's nothing wrong with making much of your life. But let me tell you, if you're trying to save your life, I'm going to live like I want to. I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to wait till later to get saved. I'm going to wait till later to worry about eternity. You may not have later. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have to the end of this hour. You may not have that much time. And it's important that you realize that if you're trying to save your life, that one day you're going to lose it. Yet other people say, well, I would get saved, but I want to enjoy my sin. Maybe there's a sin. Maybe there's an occupation that you're involved in. Maybe there's some type of habit that you enjoy. Maybe there's some type of lifestyle that you don't want to give up, and you want to save that. Let me tell you, you're going to lose it one day. You're going to lose your life. Whosoever shave his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. I'm thankful on April 1st of 1984 that I lost my life. I lost my life when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's when I really found it. Oh, hey, the devil will come up and tell you, hey, he did that to me when the Holy Ghost was dealing with me about the time that Bobby Thomas had shared with me Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commended, he displayed his love toward us, toward me, and that while I was a sinner, Christ died for us, he died for me. And the devil said, now, Thomas, if you get saved, you're going to have to give up the way you live. You're going to have to give up your habits. You're going to have to give up the crowds you hang around with. And I realized how much Jesus loved me. I realized how much he would do for me if I would trust him. And I said, Lord, come into my heart and save me. And he did, amen. And let me tell you, by the way, all that stuff that the devil said I was going to have to give up, I don't miss any of it. Don't need it. Amen. And you don't need to drink when you drink of the water of life. You don't need to go out and live a party and lifestyle when you've got eternal life. And you don't have to have all of that stuff that the world has. Let me tell you, the devil, all his toys have got thorns in them. They've got problems with them. And all the vices of the world, there's a price to be paid. But if you'll lose your life, if you'll say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to receive you as my Lord and Savior, for the sake of Christ, you'll find your life. You'll have eternal life that will never run out, that will never end. Salvation from Jesus' perspective. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for Jesus' sake shall find it. We are to build upon the rock in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. The Lord says here, and it's very important that we really take note of this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now this is a story of a man that would be maybe along the River Jordan, along the Sea of Galilee, that he builds up on the ledge. He builds on the rock. He builds the house. A little harder to build it there. A little more work involved to put it there. But he builds that house on the rock. It may be a simple house. It may be a little log cabin. It may be a little old country home. I don't know what it may be, but it could be something simple. But this man, he built this house on the rock, and then let me tell you, the rains are going to descend, and the floods are going to come, and the winds are going to blow. I mean, Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. So troubles and trials are going to come. Whether you're saved or not, they're going to come. But where you build is going to depend upon whether or not you make it through. The rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not. It fell not because it was founded upon a rock. It could have been a simple house. It could have been a plain house, but it was built on the right foundation, and the floods could not touch it because it was built up above the flood line. The rains could not destroy it because it was built. The mudslides could not take it away because it was built on the rock. And then we look here that the winds blew, that the wind couldn't blow it down because it was anchored on the rock. Let me tell you something. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when the rains descend, when the storms of life come, when the floods come and the winds blow, the house may be simple and the house may be plain, but praise God, when the sun rises and the skies are cleared and the winds calm down and the floods recede, glory to God, your house is going to still be standing because you're built on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. God does that for His children. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, and that's not some of this, you know, this 2 cent Christianity junk, you know, people. And by the way, I'm going to say, I might get in trouble for this, but if you got a religion that can't bring you to church, I mean, you're talking about there's some folks couldn't. I mean, if you got a religion that won't bring you 10, 20, 30 miles to come to church, how in God's name you think it's going to take you to heaven? Huh? Answer that question for me. I mean, I'm thankful that I got a religion that'll take me to heaven, and I got a religion that'll take me to the house of God. Amen? I want you to have that kind of religion. Build it on that rock. And when the storms come, you're going to be coming through on the other side victorious. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. And you know, you've got a choice. You've got a choice to hear or reject. Choice is up to you. I can't make that choice for you. I can do my job, I can do my part and follow the calling that God has on my life and to preach the counsel of God and to preach the gospel message. I can pray for the Holy Ghost to deal with your heart and the Holy Ghost can deal with your heart, but it is up to you to make the choice. You can hear the sayings of Christ and build on the solid rock and have a life that will withstand the storms. Or you can ignore the words of Christ and he doeth them not shall be likened to foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now a foolish man, he could build a mighty nice house. You can build a nice two-story house that has all the modern conveniences that you can get. Have all the fancy woodwork. Have the finest of wood floors. Have the finest architectural designs and woodwork that you could put in there. I mean, go back and put a set of sheetrock plaster walls and you can have the finest sound system. You can have the finest entertainment system. You can have, like I went to the Bose Outlet up in Springfield, North Carolina yesterday, them little theaters, got the theater seats, got the TV, got the Bose sound, and you cut that thing on, you go, wow, I mean, blow your hair back. I mean, you can have that. You can have everything. And the world builds a lot of nice things. But when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow, you can have that house built on the sinking sand of life. You can have the foundation wrong on the house, and when the rains come and the storms come and the winds blow and the floods come, the house is going to fall because its foundation was not correct. You can build a life that is glamorous. You can build a Hollywood-style lifestyle that looks glamorous. A Hollywood lifestyle is a lifestyle that looks glamorous on the outside, but it's rotten within. You can build that kind of lifestyle. You can build your lifestyle according to the pop culture and have all the things that you think you would like to have. You can be popular in school. You can be popular on Facebook. You can be popular on Twitter. You can be popular on Instagram. You can have all of those things going for you. But if you do not build on the Lord Jesus Christ, when the day of judgment comes, your house is going to fall. And great will be the fall of it. So build on the rock. Do not try to save your life in the petty things. And if you really look at what you're trying to do, just like I did years ago, 32 years ago in my life, I realized that I was throwing my life away for things that were not worth anything, of no value. And I received the word of God. I received the Lord Jesus Christ. And He saved my life and gave my life a new meaning. He'll do that for you as well. Salvation from Jesus' perspective is to listen to Him, lose your life in repentance and faith, receive Christ, and you'll find your life. I want to talk about the soul's eternal value in verse 26. What is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What if you could get everything that this world has? Back in Luke's gospel, we read about a man that had brought forth plenteously. Brother Mike preached on this passage of Scripture during the evangelistic crusade. There's a parable of the rich fool. And Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods. This would be like having so much money in the bank that the bank couldn't hold all your money. So you go find you another bank. That'd be about like what we're talking about here. He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what this guy, let's say he was in his 30s. This guy is at retirement age. He's retiring. He's thinking, I'm going to live for many years. I've got everything that I need. I've got two banks full of money. I've got my barns full. I've got my house paid off. I've got my Cadillac and my Rolls Royce, and I've got my 83 Chevrolet. I mean, cause a redneck, if you're going to have all the fancy stuff, you got to have an old Chevrolet pickup truck. Amen? I mean, if you don't have an old Chevrolet pickup truck or have some type of old truck, you really ain't arrived. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, so he's got all of that. He's got everything set up. He's got his house set up. He's got internet. He's got the, and I realize this is Bible time, but Shakespeare can go ahead of time, so can I. Amen? And so, and he's got his internet. He's got his entertainment system. He's got the big old TV that looks like he's at a theater. He has got the Bose surround sound that beats the band. He has got the finest of everything. He's got the finest kitchen. His wife has got cabinet space galore, amen, and has got every cast iron pan and frying pan and cooking ware that she could ever have, because that no stick stuff ain't worth a whole lot either, amen. You tell where I came. I grew up old country, amen. This guy's got everything, and he is sitting down and saying, I don't have a thing to worry about. He's got his education. He's popular. He's on the school board. He's the mayor, the governor, and the president of everything. He's got everything set up. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Hey, you may think you've got a long time ahead. And tonight may be the night that God says, I'm calling your number. I'm dialing your telephone and you're checking out of here. How's it going to be with your soul if that were to happen today? And I want to remind you that while that the logistics are that may not happen, I want to remind you that I have, in the 16 years of pastoring here and 23 years total of being on staff here, that there's been more than one time that I have preached to somebody in a Sunday morning service or witnessed to somebody in a Sunday morning service and they die before the sun went down or before the sun came up the next day. That has happened. I know of people that have been witnessed to on a Saturday morning and would be out in eternity before the sun went down on Saturday night. So I'm saying is, while I cannot guarantee that this may be your last day, you cannot guarantee that it won't be. So to do you well to know that you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I beg of you. See, all the devil has to do is to get you to say no 1 minute longer than you live. And he'll get you to put it off. He'll get you to put it off. He'll get you to put it off. Don't put it off. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. What if you could have absolutely everything that you could ever desire to have? Now, I don't know about you, but I can desire a whole lot. How about you? We were coming back from North Carolina, little Mackenzie. She wanted some little doll or something, and she was saying, I want a doll. I want Anna. And I said, I want $1 million. She said, I'd want $1 million. I mean, you couldn't tell which one who was more mature, Mackenzie or me. And I was trying to do it to get her to hush, and it worked after a while. I mean, I'd want $1 million. I'd want $10 million. I wouldn't mind having $1 billion. How many of you wouldn't mind having $1 billion? You know, I mean, I would. I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind having all that. I could want a whole lot. But if you could get everything in this world, if you could get the whole world, if you had, I mean, if the life was a Monopoly game and you owned all the pieces of property, you owned the waterworks, you owned the electric company, you owned the railroad, you owned all the motels and the hotels, and you got all the jackpot in the middle. You got the parking stuff. You own everything, and everybody else in the game has nothing. If you get all the world and lose your soul, you have lost out. That's what Jesus says here in this passage of Scripture. What does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing that you can give in exchange for the value of your soul that is going to live in eternity somewhere. The soul's eternal value. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, there was a rich young ruler that had come up and said, "Good master, what may I do to have eternal life?" He thought he could earn eternal life. He could earn it and he could buy it, that he could bargain for it. But he went away in great sorrow because he loved his possessions more than he loved the Lord, than he loved his soul. And as far as we know, this man died and went to hell. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How many people make the same terrible decision that the man that had built the greater barns and the man that went away sorrowful because he would not lay aside that what he had and give it to the Lord? How many people make that terrible decision to trade their eternal soul for that which will only profit them for a few years, maybe a dozen years, or maybe 20 or 30 or 40 years at best? And trade their soul that will suffer an eternity in hell. The rich man that died and buried and in hell rose, lifted up his eyes, that took place about 2,000 years ago, a little more. And let me tell you, that man left everything he had behind. He left everything behind for his youngins to fight over and for people to squabble over. But he is still in hell tonight, crying for a drop of water. And Lazarus, who is begging at his feet, is in heaven tonight. Let me tell you that salvation, what is impossible with men. The disciples said, When Jesus told him that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, his disciples heard it. They were exceedingly amazed and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men, this is impossible." And let me tell you this, that with salvation, it is impossible for you to earn or to buy your salvation. It's impossible for you to save yourself. It's impossible with men. Men's works, men's power, men's prestige, men's attainments, men's accomplishments cannot merit one iota, one tiny bit of merit with God. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What cannot be done by man, God provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. God knowing that man could not save himself, God knowing that man could do nothing to take care of his sin debt, God stepped in man's place. God provided himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the splendors of heaven, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless and perfect life, went to the cross of Calvary as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and paid for the sins of all the world, of all humanity, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, God will save your never dying soul. What is impossible with men is very possible with God. Now the question you may have, well, if there's such a cost of following Jesus. Because see, Jesus is laying out. I mean, he's letting you know what you're signing up for. Amen? Now we may not always do that in our presentations, but if we do it the way Jesus said it, I mean, Jesus is letting you know, if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross. You can't follow him and not take up your cross. You can't follow him and not deny yourself. Because sooner or later, you're going to run. If you're going to try to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you're going to lose it in repentance and faith, you'll find it. And you're going to have to realize that your soul is more valuable than anything else. Now, if there's such a cost of following the Lord Jesus, you may ask, why would anybody desire to be saved and to follow him? Because there is a cost far greater if you do not receive him. Yes, there's a cost. Now, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. But there, when you get saved and you follow him, there's a price. There's a cost. There are sacrifices, and there are things that you're going to have to crucify self. You're going to have to lay yourself aside, deny self. There's a price. But the cost of rejecting Christ is far greater. You can have the best that this life can offer. And when you die, close your eyes in death, you'll wind up in hell. And only to stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment and be judged by your works to show that you are a guilty sinner, and then the book of life will be opened one more time and your name not there, and you'll be cast in the lake of fire. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let me remind you at the great white throne judgment that nobody at that judgment is going to make it to heaven. That is a judgment of condemnation to show men that they're guilty. But let me tell you this. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your judgment took place 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. The cost of rejecting Christ is far greater than the cost of being saved and being his disciple. The cost is facing judgment without accepting Christ as your Savior. The Lord warns us in verse 27 that there is coming a day of judgment when all men will stand before God and be judged. There are two things going to take place in every person's life. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every one of us are going to die, and every one of us are going to stand before God. And what you do with Christ will determine where you're going to be. That's going to be a sad day for those that did not receive the Lord, but it's going to especially be a sad day for those that thought that they were okay. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, what that's saying there is not everybody's talking about heaven's going there. Not everybody that says they're a Christian are a Christian. Not everybody that says they know the Lord know the Lord. I mean, we're looking at Jesus' words here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You saying you got to work your way into heaven? What's the will of the Father in heaven? The will of the Father is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of the Father for you, sinner friend, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll have a faith that will produce works. You're not saved by works, but your works show what you have. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Hey, they're going to be preachers. They're going to be those that say they're soul winners. They're going to be Sunday school teachers. They're going to be choir members. They're going to be worship leaders. They're going to be people that have been involved in what they think is a work of the Lord, or maybe being involved in the work of the Lord, but never been saved. They're going to say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And thy name have done many wonderful works. They're going to accomplish great things. They may even see miracles take place. But they did not receive the Lord. And Jesus said, I will profess unto them then, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The cost of discipleship is laying self aside, taking up your cross, and following the Lord. But the cost of not knowing Christ and serving Him, not knowing the Lord as your Savior, is an eternity separated from God. And I think that is going to be an especially sad day for those that think they were doing God a service and believed a lie. I think it's going to be a sad day for those that are involved in religions around the world that thought they were doing okay, to find out that they had rejected the Lord. There are going to be those that are in the realm of Christendom. It's going to be a sad day, but it's going to be especially a sad day for independent Baptists. You hear me right. For independent Baptists who trusted in their prayer, who trusted in their baptism, who trusted in their good works, who trusted in their religious works, but never truly came to the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him by faith. It's going to be those that made a little profession of faith that come to church two or three times a year that think that they're okay. They're going to find out. And I'm not saying that people that way are lost, but I'm going to tell you what, if I had a religion that only brought me to church two or three times a year, I would be checking up if it was me. And if it were you, I would check up. Because something, when 2 + 2 doesn't add up to be 4, there's something wrong with the calculator, amen? Or something wrong with the operator. Hitting wrong buttons. Going to be an especially disappointing day to go to hell from an independent Baptist church pew. Being on an independent Baptist church roll. Baptized in an independent Baptist church. Walked an aisle and prayed a little prayer that didn't mean anything. And to trust in that, only to find out too late that you blew it. That you missed out. Where will you be after you die? If you were to die right now, where would you be? How would you stand before God? If the trumpet were to sound and the rapture to take place, and just like that, those that know the Lord are gone. Would you be here or would you be there in the air? Where would you be? I cannot answer that question for you. I can answer that question for myself. That I know that I would be with the Lord because I've trusted Christ and He saved me and He is my Lord and my Savior. And there's nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But because I cling to the cross and because I'm saved by grace, He produces good works in my life. He does that. We are His workmanship. Where will you be after you die? Do not wait until it's too late.